Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here. Right here, either at youtube.com/Steven Larson or maybe the audio realm, wherever audio podcasts can be found. Of course,
got that right.
This is the Matt Chat weekly version of the show. We reach out to our patrons at $20 and up on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a variety of reward tiers over there. $5 gets you all sorts of bonus content.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, we got a slew of great questions today.
Fantastic questions. I'll tell you what. First, from
Jacksonville's number one,
Gion Halili. Take it away, Gion.
Hey there, friendos. This is Jacksonville's number one Matt Chatter, Gion Halili, back with another Matt Chat question. This week, my question is about Randy Orton, specifically how he's doing such an amazing job of being like one of the top heels on Raw. So my question is, why aren't there any other good heels on WWE TV? Like, you know, The Fiend was supposed to be a big heel, but people cheer for him. So why hasn't there been a brand new top heel built that's not Baron Corbin? Yeah, let me know your thoughts. Too sweet, too good. Later, guys.
Thank you, Gion.
Thank you, Gion. It's tough times. It's hard to be a heel these days, man. Here, it's a double-edged sword, dude. This is the deal. Either you're a heel who is doing such good work that the crowd can't help but appreciate you. This is one thing. The death of kayfabe has really, I think, done a number on how easy or difficult it is to be a heel. Because, so like a movie, with a movie, you get drawn into this world, mm-hmm. right? Where if the world building is good enough, if the performances are good enough, if the writing is good enough, what do you want out of a heel? You want somebody who you need to see them get their comeuppance, right? So if you take a look at movie villains like Biff Tannen, for example,
yeah,
they built that character so perfectly that you just wanted to see him get enmeshed in manure,
mm-hmm.
and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to see him get clocked by George McFly, and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
With wrestling, because the idea that what we're seeing is a performance, and it's sort of like, I don't know, takes a little bit. The suspension of disbelief isn't quite the same as it is in like a movie or a fictional show. So if you get somebody out there and they're performing, oh, I'm a bad guy, and they're doing a really good job, like MJF. Do I really want to see him get beat up? Yeah, kind of. He gets really close. But in the end, I just think that he's really cool and he's really entertaining. He's doing a really good job. And I just appreciate that. You know, Chris Jericho, I don't really care about seeing him get beat up. I just think he's entertaining as all get out. And that's AEW, where that stuff is supposed to be done really, really well.
Yeah.
You take a look over in WWE. Now, one of the closes was Randy Orton. He's doing a really, really good job. But even by the end of that Beth Phoenix segment, the crowd was all chanting, oh, one more time, one more time. RKO, RKO. So it's just, I think it's just really difficult. I think the performers who are really, really good at it, people appreciate how really good they are. And on the flip side of that, if you get the crowd actually not liking you, what do they say? Oh, you just want him to be gone. Like Baron Corbin. I think Baron Corbin is probably the best heel in the business today, but I don't want to see him on my TV because he's just boring.
It's the wrong kind of heat. I'll say, I don't think the gulf between movie villain and wrestling heel is that far in terms of suspension of disbelief. The one thing that's missing is there's real-time validation or response to whatever the heel is doing, and that's missing from a movie. You can be sitting in the theater and appreciate the performance. At the same time, you're not going to be, the villain movie does something that's nefarious and awful, but in another sense, engrossing. You're not going to start chanting one more time on the movie screen. Well, you know, you can still have the same appreciation for performance for a movie villain you can for a pro wrestler. I'm just saying there's not the same real-time interaction between performer and viewer that there is in a movie.
I don't think that's the thing. I mean, I've seen movies where I'm sitting there and, I mean, I have my internal monologue when I'm watching a movie. Uh-huh. And, you know, for example, like off the top of my head, just because I saw a clip of this. With what was it, The Last Jedi?
Yeah,
there was like a scene with Snoke
and
Kylo Ren. I know Kylo Ren's supposed to be a bad guy and everything, but in this particular scene, Kylo Ren was the face and Snoke was the heel. It was just a one-on-one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Snoke sort of throws down Kylo Ren and he sort of treats him like crap.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, oh man, I want this dude to get his head cut. I'm not thinking to myself, man, this is a great performance. One more time. Keep on pushing him down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking that.
Well, I think also there's the situation too. MJF gets the closest because he seemed like he gave a kid the finger at an autograph signing today on Wednesday.
Yeah, but seriously, when you showed that to me, I wasn't like, oh, honestly, no. The closest thing, I'm sorry, I'll let you get your piece in. I know I've talked a lot. Brock Lesnar. And the reason why Brock Lesnar is such an effective heel when they really play up his contract stuff and him not being there, and Brock Lesnar laughs it off and he climbs the Money in the Bank thing. Brock Lesnar, they have built it as such a monster. I love to see him get wrecked. I love to see him eat a pin because they've done such a masterful job making me believe that this guy is only in it for the money. He's out there and he makes everybody else look stupid. He's backstage and he just owns Vince McMahon. They've done such a job convincing me, the audience member, of that, because half of that is true.
I'd say more than half of it. Two-thirds of it are true.
Yeah. So, like, that's a guy that I'm like, man, I want to see this guy get beat up. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyways, my point is, you know, I'm not saying there isn't a gulf. I don't think, at least me personally, the gulf isn't that wide. I'm sitting there watching a movie. Yeah, I can get sucked into the world. But I think if pro wrestling, if in a particular sequence or a moment, if the world building's done well enough, like when Orton turned on Edge, that was just pitch perfect. Everything about that, perfect.
Sure.
They built the moment up to the reunion. It was joyous. They sucked you into that moment, into that world those two men were creating, and then they destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a long time since I've seen anybody in the middle of the ring get that level of heat that Randy Orton got that
day. He's the kind of guy who, because he succeeds so much, and he comes off as a prick, you want to see him get a beat up.
The problem with Randy Orton, too, is he's been around for so long, he's done enough cool stuff that he's got that level of equity with the fan base. At the end of the day, people just want to see him RKO people, whether he does jacked up stuff or not. The major issue, especially in WWE, seemingly, with heels, and you're right about the way kayfabe is gone, that we as ingesters, viewers of wrestling entertainment, when we see someone doing a good job, heel or face, we enjoy watching their work.
Sure.
And yeah, we might not have the same visceral reaction wrestling fans of yore did seeing heels heel it up.
Not even close.
But I think it's not... For lack of trying of the performance part, it's just a different level of appreciation us because we're more well versed on what's going on behind the scenes. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
We know this is a performance. We're under no illusion. I don't think many people back then were under any illusion that it was real. But we for sure are not. By and large, in WWE now, I feel like they don't let the heels go far enough. Like Orton, when he decimated Edge, great. Some of the stuff Orton did to Jeff Hardy, great. You know, when he stuck his finger in his ear hole and twisted around. Pulled on it. That was great. But you have Baron Corbin, who's probably the top heel on SmackDown. What's the worst thing he's done? Dump dog food on somebody. It's juvenile.
You know, the worst thing he's done is shown up every week and taking 20 minutes of my time.
One individual thing he's done. Like, there's nothing threatening about Baron Corbin.
Yeah, right.
What, you're going to dump dog food on me?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, moderately embarrassing, but at the same time, it's like, you're not a threat to end my career. And that's what Orton is right now. And by and large, like when they're building up Braun as a monster heel, that's what he was. I mean, he got to the point where he was doing so much cool stuff, the crowd was getting behind him. But at first, when he was terrorizing Roman week after week, doing crazy stuff
It helps when you have like a massive human being And you like to see that kind of thing get beat up because it just seems like a novel concept.
Yeah. I mean, like even MJF, he's trying his damnedest, and he's just so good at his job that it's hard not to appreciate the level of craftsmanship he applies to his trade.
He's entertaining. He's clever.
He is entertaining, and he is clever. And he's not the physical threat that Braun or Orton or a lot of other great heels are, but he's got Wardlow back in his play, and that's the physical threat.
Yeah, and that was a smart move. And so, you want people, you want somebody to get their hands on him. And so, I mean, he's the best heel that AEW has, AEW is where, you know, if you want to say, hey, I want the creative freedom, do it.
No, Young Bucks might be the top heels in AEW right now.
Well, in my heart, because they just won't leave that guy alone, Hangman Page. They don't want to be your friend. Or he doesn't want to be your friend. I don't know. I just think that, like, the way we interact with pro wrestling, the way we view it, is just, I think it's a lot different these days.
Oh, it totally is.
You know, but I think, I mean, that's one thing that's sort of underrated about Brock Lesnar is that, you know, I mean, I put this question out there because I kind of want to do a video about it, why people have rage quitted the network over various, you know, incidents or stories or whatever. And one huge answer that I get is when Brock won Money in the Bank. Man, people hated that. People really hated that because it was like Mustafa Ali's to win.
Yeah.
And then Brock comes in and he's just sitting up there with his big purple face smiling.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I want to see this guy get his ass kicked. I really, I even loved it when he went to the UFC and I was like rooting for him to get his ass kicked and he would play that up.
Oh yeah.
You know, he was a heel there too.
Yeah. He was great cutting promos saying he wanted to drink Bud Light instead of Coors Light.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, that was good stuff.
You know, those guys are so few and far between because there are so many different factors that go into what they do.
Brock's a unique case.
He is.
He's legitimate across the board. He's a legitimate fighter. Like you mentioned, the reasons that he gets heat is for the most part pretty legitimate.
You know, I thought they actually did a pretty good job with in terms of, man, I really want to see her get her butt kicked is Shayna Baszler. Her streak. And it's funny because her run was a bit different than Asuka's, where Asuka's was just fun to see her destroy everybody.
Yeah.
With Shayna, because she's got that MMA thing going, she talks like a bully. She like literally was bullying people in NXT during one part of the storyline. It was like, oh man, this is, it's fun to see her get, you know, like that Rhea Ripley match where she finally took down Shayna, like that was a legitimate, like, oh my God, this is great. It's like, we sort of saw it coming, but at the same time, and then they have all the fans get in there or whatever they did.
Yeah, it felt like a cathartic moment.
It really did. It really did. And I think that is what a strong heel is.
It felt like when the bully, the school bully, he's or she's the one that finally, well, I guess in this case she, but he is the one that gets the wedgie, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than doling them out.
Totally.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Next, got a question from Doc Hensla.
He's doing surgery on his dog.
No,
this
he's walking the dog.
Oh, that's what he calls surgery.
Hey, Steven Larson, this is your favorite doctor, Doc Hensler, here with my Matt Chat question for the week. So as you can tell, I'm not in the operating room. I'm actually on vacation, so I'm taking my little dog, Todd, out for a walk around our apartment complex. So my question for the week is, with Elimination Chamber coming up, I want you guys to power rank your top five favorite gimmick matches of all time. This could be anything from Elimination Chamber, Hell in a Cell, Royal Rumble, anything really. So just let me know. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Doc Hensler.
Thank you, Doug Hensler.
Dog and Doc Hensler. Yeah.
Todd Hensler and Doc Hensler.
So instead of just doing our five favorite gimmick match types, we're getting specific.
I think he was talking about.
I think so
specific,
too. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
So this is what it is. I don't know if these are in any particular order. Maybe the first two. First three. Rumble 92.
Yes,
great. Won Ric Flair one.
Oh, yeah.
With the vacant WWE title.
Awesome.
Fantastic. The level of talent in that match is off the charts. Great storytelling throughout. Flair winning was awesome. Kind of wish Sid would have won, but hey, what can you do? The only kind of lame part of it was Hogan pulling Sid out. But then the crowd booed Hogan, so that's kind of cool. But then they went and dubbed it over, so they cheered Hogan pulled Sid
out. Pretty lame.
See, people love Sid. Next, WrestleMania 17, the TLC match. I was there at WrestleMania 2000 to witness kind of the early beginnings of the TLC bouts between Edge and Christian, Hardy Boys, and the Dudleys. This was kind of the culmination of all those matches. Of course, Edge, Spear, and Jeff Hardy off the belts.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible moment. Awesome match. Those guys put themselves through hell for our entertainment. Another ladder match, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10. Still easily top three ladder matches of all time. Mm-hmm. Just brilliant, 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 brilliant stuff. Groundbreaking. Razor Ramon, one of the more underrated in-ring performers.
Oh, for sure.
In pro wrestling, and HBK, one of the best. Any beat the clock challenge. As a gimmick type, that's my favorite. I love beat the clock challenges.
It's very tense.
It is.
Except for that one. No, wait. What was that one? It was like Seth and Dolph. Was it?
That was an Iron Man match.
That's right. That's terrible. That crowd was awful.
Yeah.
They just kept on counting down with the clock.
I do like.
And they took the clock away, and the crowd booed. That's so bad. That's such a bad crowd.
And I could put. That wasn't an Iron Man match. I thought the Bayley and Sasha Banks' Iron Man match was really good, mm-hmm. but the one prior where Bayley beat Sasha for the belt, that's one at Brooklyn. The first Brooklyn takeover was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's good.
Still
stuff.
One of my favorite NXT matches ever. And I know I was going to say specific, but I guess I'll say the season 2 Aztec Warfare match in Lucha Underground. It's you can be eliminated. It's like a battle royal, but it's
I just did that. Yeah, I haven't said mine yet. You've already said yours.
Is it gonna be Rey de Reyes?
Yeah.
Aristar won a sword.
Yeah, man.
I'm gonna say Rey de Reyes last.
We
year.
Can use Aristar that as a co-answer, okay?
But the Aztec Warfare match, you haven't seen that. The season 2 was when Matanza, Jeff Cobb, shows up and eliminates half the field. It's
Was Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Blue Demon Jr. Was that?
Well, it's a
gimmick
hair,
match.
It's a hair versus mask match.
Yeah, that's on there because a cinder block was used and a hammer was used. So that's going to be my number one. My number two is the FMW death match on water that we did a tape, uh-huh. sort of prototype trade on. You can find that here on the channel somewhere.
Somewhere.
So there's that. Also, I really like that one NWA scaffold match where Jim Cornette blew out his knees.
Oh, that's awful.
Like everybody was blowing out their knees. Literally, that was like one of the more terrifying matches to watch.
Yeah, it really
because
was.
Because the scaffold was super thin. I don't even know if there's any railing on it. It was a mess.
Yeah, it was a damn nightmare.
Let's see here. Of course, Hell in a Cell, Foley versus The Undertaker. I mean, man, that just turned me into an instant, like, lifelong fan of Mick Foley. It was like, holy crap, that's crazy. You mentioned this, and I'm glad that you reminded me of this, but the match that kept me going, that introduced me to New Japan was the New Japan Rumble from Wrestle Kingdom 2017. It was really good stuff. Don't call me.
Don't they know we're doing a show?
No, it's a 1-888 number. So, and then I've got on here, I'm just going to go a little bit more recent. So I've got two Daniel Bryan Bray Wyatt matches. There was a one where Daniel Bryan broke the Wyatt family thing.
Where he was concussed.
Yeah. And then there was Daniel Bryan and the Fiend strap match. That was a solid match.
That was fantastic. Yeah, that was really good. Match. That was really good. Mm-hmm. All good options. Next question from the B man himself.
But yeah, Rey de Reyes. Number one. You get a sword.
You get a giant sword.
Yeah.
If you win that. B man, Patrick Sparks got a question. Take it away, B man.
Hey, friendos, Pat here. All right. AEW's got Blood and Guts coming up soon, which I am very much looking forward to. But it got me thinking, Blood and Guts is a very high way to say violence and whatnot. And I'm just curious of what amount of violence and blood and guts, hopefully not any guts, but blood and whatnot they're going to go to on that show. How far do you think that TNT will allow them to take it? Even in those parameters, what do you think they could do for crazy stuff and whatnot that'll actually be interesting? And I don't know. It's weird. It could work. could be underwhelming, could be awesome. What do you guys think? Thanks for another bite.
Thank you, B-Man.
Thank you, Austin Theory 2.0. I think that the Blood and Guts special, I think the Blood and Guts aspect of it is going to be confined to the actual War Games match that they're going
to
have.
Say that every match is going to be a War Games match.
I'd be kind of surprised if they did that, but I don't know what the setup's going to be like, so I guess it's possible. I kind of feel like that the theme of Blood and Guts is going to encapsulate just the one match. It's not going to be every match on the card. It's not like you're going to have, you know, the Librarian versus Orange Cassidy in a death match, although I'd pay to see that. I think you can go ahead with your answer, because your answer is probably right.
Hopefully somewhere between an average Cody match, where he always seems to bleed.
Yeah.
But not as far as the Omega Mox death match. They're going to reserve that kind of stuff for the pay-per-view.
That was a lot.
A middle ground in there might be Mox and Janela's bout, where you got some hardcore spots. The worst it got is when Janela got a drop feet first on some thumbtacks.
Sure.
Not a whole ton of blood.
Yeah.
Creative violent spots as opposed to gore.
Yeah,
I feel like it's going to be the name of the game.
Somebody's going to get bloody, though.
Yeah, people will get bloody, without a doubt. But I don't think it's going to be like FMW death match.
Yeah.
It's not going to be CZW Cage of Death type situation. I could be wrong, though. No fluorescent tubes.
Yeah. Because, after all, I'd maybe feel different if it was on pay-per-view.
Exactly. This is going to be on cable, so it's not going to be that gory.
Like, TNT, I think, will, trust them to take it as far as they think they should be able to. But I don't think that Tony Khan's going to let them, push that.
No.
You don't want to burn that bridge, man.
No.
They've got a good thing going.
Cody got busted open in his cage match against Wardlow. That maybe plus 50% more.
Sure, yeah.
Something like that.
That makes sense.
That seems to be what my guts tell me right now, but we'll see how if they keep promoting it as super violent with a font that looks like dripping blood on everything.
Yeah.
They literally market this
as Rawgate Mutant.
A living wrestling nightmare for the competitors. Might change my tune.
Yeah, sure.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Next, got a question from Stephen M.
Hey, friend, I was just watching Raw. I'm watching Drew come in, and just the beat of his drums. He needs a mental, a class WrestleMania entrance. And out of, should every participant / at least one participant in every match on WrestleMania have a huge WrestleMania entrance? I think they should, especially with the pyro back, everything. Everybody should just make WrestleMania should be Medfield special. And out of all the matches, we know going forward, who should get a special WrestleMania entrance and what should their entrance be?
Thank you, Stephen M.
Thank you, Stephen M.
Not everyone should have a special entrance, because everybody has a special entrance. It's not going to feel as special.
Yeah, it's only once a year, man.
Yeah.
No, it's once a year. It would feel special still.
If everybody had an opulent, fancy entrance by the time the main event happened, where you really want to get eyeballs on it, people excited for it, and it's just, here's another special fancy entrance, you're going to be worn out by that time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
So, your answer is, the latter half of your answer is right. I won't say what it is.
Okay.
I'll let you talk about that. usually two or three wrestlers or tag teams get something special.
Yeah.
Keep it that way.
I think it should go up a little bit.
Like super special. I'm talking New Day coming out of a cereal box, that level of special.
Yeah, that was great.
Drew should be one of them. If they really want to build him up, they need to make him feel
Should he come out on a horse?
No, that's too much. They'll probably do some sort of
A couple of
Highlander type of thing where he's got a giant sword he just won Rey to Reyes. A
couple indie jobber guys in a horse costume, and he's on top of them. You got the two-person horse costume.
Yeah, I know what you're
talking about. The Wild Boys when they went out.
But probably
They were in a tiger costume or a zebra or something like that, and they got legitimately attacked by it.
They might try. They might do. I know they did the bagpipes thing at TakeOver for Drew.
Sure.
They might try to do some Braveheart or Highlander thing. Given that he's from Scotland, Who knows?
Outlander.
Where
he's a time traveler.
Like Aerostar. Again, full circle. Raider Reyes. Giant swords.
Exactly.
Drew should get something fancy.
Edge.
Yeah, Edge will get something cool. And then just have Orton come down a giant snake, please. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not. It should be that should be his standard entrance.
Exactly.
At this point. So I'm going to say this, though. So, I kind of agree with what you're saying. I think a couple more special entrances wouldn't kill anybody. But everybody should. There's nothing more disappointing than when somebody shows up at WrestleMania and they've got their Raw or SmackDown entrance gear on. They're just wearing the normal thing.
Yeah.
Like for some people that kind of work, like Dean Ambrose when he was around, it kind of made sense for him. Although I think even when the Shield was a thing, they had like special masks or something. But like nobody wants to see just like Baron Corbin just show up. Normal Baron Corbin, you know?
I thought you were going to say no one wants to see Baron Corbin show up.
Well, that is actually true. That's a very good point. But nobody wants to see, I mean, like, everybody needs their special gear, their entrance gear special for WrestleMania. Everybody should
have that.
We
can agree with that. Special gear is a must. Next question from Christopher Rampersaw.
Hey, Stephen Larson. So my question is, I think Tommaso Ciampa should have turned heel on Johnny Gargano at the last TakeOver. It makes better sense. Tommaso Ciampa is a better heel than Gargano. I think Gargano is a better face. I know it would have been weird and crazy booking, but I think long-term it would have worked and Triple H would get the satisfying storyline he wanted. What do you guys think? How would you guys book this? Let me know. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Give me your opinion. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Christopher. Should Ciampa have turned heel on Gargano? No, because I don't think they should have gone back to this well.
Hey, wait a second. I think I go first now.
No, you went first last time.
No, you didn't. You said this spiel about the entrances. No. They shouldn't have gone back to that well. We're all tired of it. I'm tired of these two fighting. Who cares what's the heel? Look, if it was me, you want to do another Gargano Ciampa? Great. Even have the finish that happened at TakeOver. That's fine. But then have Ciampa just be Ciampa and Gargano just be Gargano in their current states. And they can still have a match. They can still do it. Just have Gargano say, look, dude, I love you in every respect. But I made myself a promise a long time ago that I'll be damned if you're ever going to get that title again. So if you want to lay me out. We'll do it again. We'll run it back. But this whole, like, oh, all of a sudden Gargano's a bad guy now, and then he's a good guy, and then he's a bad guy. It doesn't fit him at all.
Yawn.
He's just be him.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
No. This whole thing seems forced.
It does.
They're forced into these roles.
I agree.
And even if Ciampa, like, towards the end of Ciampa's heel run, like, people were cheering him because he was awesome.
Yeah.
He was doing incredible work.
Question, yeah.
And he's out with that neck injury, comes back. Short of him, do something like evil to Gargano.
Evil.
No one's gonna boo Ciampa.
Yeah, right.
It's just not gonna happen. So yeah. if you're gonna force this Gargano Ciampa feud to come back, just have them be who they are.
Nobody. There wasn't even much of a reaction this past last week.
Like
on
no
NXT.
One. I can't feel like anybody was clamoring for this feud to continue, mm-hmm. especially not in the sort of ham-fisted way.
I know.
Like wait. And maybe they're not an opportunity. They don't have an opportunity to wait to take their time with it. Like wait 6 months, have an organic build rather than just a flip switch inside Gargano. I'm sure that's because he lost to Finn. He's not Mr. NXT anymore. He sees Ciampa on the verge of winning the title. He, said to himself, "No way would I ever let Ciampa win that belt."
Yeah.
But have some time between when Finn beats Johnny, where Johnny's like, "Well, who am I now if I'm not Mr. NXT?"
Yeah.
He's searching for meaning in his career. And then, Ciampa's, that was what was going to happen when, Gargano and Finn were supposed to have that match, the previous TakeOver, whatever it was. But anyways, it just feels rushed. It feels unnecessary. Doesn't feel organic. Doesn't feel earned.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the problem with it. Next, Cult of False Realities. Two questions from him. Take it away.
What's good, Steven Larson, and all the friendos out there? Cult of False Realities, back with another Matt Chat question. And this one, I'm doing two questions in one because I'm going to cheat. I'm sorry. So, question one, should Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander be AEW's basic version of Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee. And question two, should finishers be, I guess, passed down from like legends to basically like present and future superstars? You know how Ric Flair passed on the figure four to The Miz? You know, should Goldberg basically give, you know, be like, oh, it's okay for Roman to do the spear, or, you know, different stuff like that? Like, should certain stuff be passed down to make it, you know, I guess a little bit, you know, better, something like that? But give me your answers, guys. Too sweet, too good, shoulder lean, all that. See you.
Thank you. Cult, false reality.
Thank you.
Do
so
I go
much.
First this time?
Yes, sir.
I go first this time. All right. Really, just let, if they want to do a long term feud between Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander, just let their feud be their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't compare it to someone else in any other feuds per se. I understand you got Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic, two dudes who are immensely talented. You got Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander, two women who are immensely talented. You want to see them feud, but just let each feud exist in its own universe, you know?
Well, what's the thing that Keith Lee and Chris Dijak have together? Like, they've got a history going back to the indies that you can mine. Like, they have a history of going at it with each other.
Rivalry that's been going on for years.
Carried on to PWG. This doesn't have the same history, doesn't.
As far the moves, no. I believe wrestling moves are like Friendo Club for everybody. If you want to do a move, just do the move. I understand there's some, here in the States at least, that's my attitude. I think in Japan, things are a little different. I know B. Priestley got some flack from using somebody else's finisher. But here, if someone's got a move and it's cool, as long as you don't like say, I invented this,
yeah,
just do it.
I kind of like the idea, though. I like that. I like that, you know.
If there's a good story to be told from a legend passing down his finish to an up-and-coming talent, using the Flair Miz example is not a good one, because to this day, Miz is not very good at putting on the figure four.
That wasn't a terrible idea. It just, he didn't know how to put on the figure four.
He kind of doesn't know how to
put it on. He doesn't really know how to put it on.
If you want to build a story about that.
So like Natalya using the sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
You're all part of the Hart Foundation.
Makes sense.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair using that makes sense.
Makes sense.
So you get, you know, maybe either via family or a guy like Kevin Owens, who spiritually might be a kind of Stone Cold successor. You could see in some way some parallels there. Him using the stunner, I think, is a pretty cool idea. Mm-hmm. I know Stone Cold didn't bequeath it to him, but
Seth was doing the pedigree.
I thought that was, that would make sense.
And it wasn't like Triple H gave him his blessing on TV. That never happened.
Right.
Seth just started doing it.
Didn't he start doing it in their feud?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he started like aping it in their feud, which I think is another good story to tell. Because Triple H has been his mentor.
That's fine. But if you just have, like, if I'm just using an example because it popped my head. I know the reason the Fiend started using the Mandible Claw is because after he used it on Foley. But if like Foley had showed up as Mankind, went up to Bray and goes, hey, you know that Sister Abigail move is great. It's just not cutting it for you. Try Mandible Claw.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I know. But I do like the general idea of, you know, Bray using that move on Foley, essentially stealing it from him.
Yeah.
That's a cool, I mean, and that's another way that you can, you know, pass it on, not literally
pass
by,
it on,
hey, buddy, it's all yours now.
The Flair Miz example, that's like the wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
Where you literally have a promo in the middle of the ring where Flair's like, hey, you should try the figure four.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And they do it together, and Miz is like, how do I do this again?
Yeah.
That was awkward.
Yeah, that's no good.
That was awkward. Finally, got a text question from Rich. He says, you guys commit a crime, and three wrestlers are trying to murder you.
Oh, no.
What crime did you commit, and which three wrestlers are in charge of solving the case?
You commit a crime, and three wrestlers are trying to murder you?
And then what did
we do? Why are they trying to murder me?
We must have done something they thought was pretty bad.
Gimmick infringement. So we took the finishers of, what's New Jack's finisher?
Jumping off something high?
Make guys bleed.
I guess.
Who's like somebody like, I don't know, somebody you'd legitimately be scared of? I stole Stan Hansen's lariat.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like such a nice guy.
Yeah, he seemed like a sweet dude.
Yeah, I know. So did Vader.
Yeah, I know.
They were just stiff in the ring.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of guys who are legitimately scary.
I don't know. Crime. Is he talking about a real crime? Like, gimmick infringement isn't actually, it's a wrestling crime. And it's just a faux pas, really. Well,
depending on the nature of the gimmick and how important it is a particular wrestler, that could be character assassination, which is a major wrestler crime.
That character assassination only took place in Canada, and that involved Bret Hart losing his title.
There we go. Maybe Bret Hart, we upset him so much.
By doing something fairly innocuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has a bone to pick with us.
Him and are there any remaining members of the Hart Foundation, like the original Hart? Let's see. Davey Boy Smith's dead. Pillman's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Neidhart's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Aw. Owen's dead. Jesus. Yeah. I don't know who's after.
Maybe a couple of his brothers. Bruce Hart.
Is he still alive?
I don't know.
What about that one guy who was Hart, but he wasn't a Hart? He wasn't even like close to being affiliated with the Harts, but his last name is still Hart.
Was it like a Lance Von Erich situation?
No. This guy, he was like in... God, it was a different Hart, dude. But I mean, he had no... Wasn't Bruce, don't say Bruce.
No, Hart. No, I'm just saying if he's still alive. Oh, he's still alive.
Who was the other Hart? He was like, crap. Was he like Mid-South or something? Hold on. Mid-South Hart. Wrestling. What am I thinking of?
Gary Hart?
Not Jimmy Hart, although that it would actually... Yeah, Gary. Yeah, Gary Hart.
Yeah, Gary Hart.
Yeah, Gary Hart. There's also Jimmy Hart. Boy, there's a lot of Harts out there who aren't actually affiliated with the Harts.
Mm-mm.
Interesting.
All
what
right.
was the question?
What crime do we commit against those three wrestlers? Well, if it was Brett, if we just like so much as we're accused of besmirching the Hart name...
Yeah, right.
He'd be coming after us.
He probably saw... I wonder if he ever saw the controversial wrestling opinions.
Right, maybe.
Because it was like, oh, that was the video got a lot of views.
Yeah, I know.
I think somebody snitch tagged us, probably.
Probably.
Hey, Brett, look what these guys said.
Oh, these oh. guys. 2 out of 10 podcasters.
Wow, he gave us two.
Do have a decent subscriber base.
Couple of dickheads. Anyway,
so he's got bone to pick with us. But then we got to have three wrestlers in charge of solving the case.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Rich.
We got to have Tyler Breeze. And Johnny Curtis.
Okay, sure. Oh, Ali was an actual cop.
And Ali, there you go.
So, like, if you want something done, call Ali. Call E. And he'll help.
That he will.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for Match Chat. Sure. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Gary Hart.
Gary Hart.
Till next time. We'll talk to you later.
Wasn't it his thing that had Terry Reynolds? No, that was Alex. That was the York Corporation. Sorry.
Oh, the York Foundation.
So York Foundation or Corporation?
Hold on a second.
We can look this up. Anyway,
corporation sounds too much.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.